VOA Sunny Sports, or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. Our starting line on the sunny side of sports is African athletics. Some of the continent's best athletes are struggling to stay sharp for next year's Tokyo Olympics in the wake of the international coronavirus crisis. The pandemic has canceled competitions and shut down training facilities in Africa. Uganda's 800 meters world champion runner Halima Nakai is doing her best to prepare for Tokyo under the COVID-19 restrictions. Halima Athmani reports from Kampala, Uganda.
800-meter women's world athletics champion Halima Nakai is trying to stay in top shape for next year's Tokyo Olympics. With the games postponed and Uganda's gyms and stadiums closed since March to cut the spread of COVID-19, her only option is Kampala's open roads. But the 25-year-old runner says training at home is the least of her worries.
Around January, February, we had got an opportunity to participate in the indoor games, of which the main target was Tokyo. So due to COVID, all the races were cancelled. And the worry, mostly being a lady, my time in sports is so short. So I have to use my body, if it's in position, to deliver good results.
Stuck in Uganda and without international competitions, Nakai trains with her other runners who are also preparing for the Tokyo Games. They are only allowed to train in small groups to abide by measures to cut the spread of the virus. Another Ugandan runner, Winnie Nanyondo, says the lockdown and delayed Olympics has also been mentally challenging.
We have to focus, we have to remain in training, because next year is Olympics. This year, there is nothing, just only Diamond Leagues, and the other year is World Championships.
The Diamond League is a series of top-tier athletic competitions for elite athletes. Most of the competitions have been cancelled, although there is hope one might take place in Monaco this August. Uganda's National Council of Sports admits the pandemic has posed challenges for athletes to stay fit and motivated. Ismail Dakaba is the National Council of Sports spokesperson.
It's been very challenging because in an Olympic year is when the athletes are most fit. I've got to say, that's when their bodies, their minds are in the best shapes of their lives, because they are trying to do everything to win Olympic gold or to raise their status. Now, without the Diamond League happening, it's a very unfortunate situation for one reason, that that is where they make most of their money.
These Ugandan athletes hope that restrictions on international competitions can be lifted as soon as possible. Nakai wants to race at the Diamond League in Monaco in August, assuming that COVID-19 is by then under control. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross-country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Serious realities indeed, Joshua. That's Joshua Cheptegei, Uganda's world champion runner. Elsewhere in African athletics, Nigeria-born sprinter Sawa Aid Nasser was recently suspended for missing drug tests. The Athletics Integrity Unit says the 22-year-old Nasser has been charged with whereabouts violations and could miss next year's Tokyo Olympics if she's found guilty. Nasser competes internationally for Bahrain, where she moved 8 years ago. She won the women's 400 meters world title last year in Doha and the silver medal at that distance at the 2017 World Championships in London. Johnny Igboka is a grassroots athletics coach in Anambra State, southeast Nigeria, who discovered Sawa Aid Nasser. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him for his reaction to Sawa's suspension.
My position is that Sawa, as an athlete, I feel that she took no enhances. She can be indisciplined, and she did not take it the test seriously. And she's young and also hot-headed.
What's your relationship with Sawa? And can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners about her discovery and nurturing?
Sawa was brought to me by her parents in August 2012. As an 11-year-old, I started working with her and saw immense talents. She started with 400 meters, 200 meters, and 400 meters. And I worked on her running form, endurance, and strength, and speed. And she naturally settled down on 400 meters. As a preterm, she easily ran the 400 meters in the 55 seconds, one of the national secondary school games, and steadily improved. She ran the 400 meters also in 51 seconds in the World Youth Games. That was in 2015, and within the goals. I'm not surprised by her current performances. And if I may say, she's the kind of person that when somebody beats her once, she will never come back leaving the person alone to be do the same thing. She has a lion heart. She works so hard to make sure that that person never stands on her face again. So that's her natural way of life. Even when we were in secondary school, when she was running for secondary school games, she would tell me, "Coach, this person will never beat me again." She would cry all through and say, "Coach, this person will never beat me again." And that's it. And it can never happen again. So I believe that was happened.
Do you think Sawa will be exonerated of the doping charge against her?
Well, for me, I believe that she can be exonerated, and maybe place her in a random test and wherever they find that she's just natural. She's just cool, and nothing goes on. And she will be picked up from there and continue what she's doing. And I believe she's ready to surprise the world constantly every day.
That's Johnny Igboka, a grassroots athletics coach in Anambra State, Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Oka, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us with more athletic news is Douglas Mpuga.
London Marathon organizers are still hopeful of holding the event in October despite the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The 40th edition of the race was originally scheduled for April 26th, but was pushed back to October 4th. Race director Hugh Bruster is reported to have said that, I quote, he hopes that the world will have found a way through coronavirus by October. A final update is expected on July 28th. It's the first time the race, a first run in 1981, has been postponed. Nearly 43,000 runners competed last year. Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya claimed a record fourth title in the men's elite race, while fellow compatriot Bridget Kosgei took the women's title. Meanwhile, the Great North Run has been cancelled because of the coronavirus pandemic. More than 55,000 runners were due to take part in the half marathon on September 13th in what would have been its 40th year. Runners are eligible for funds or can transfer their entry to next year, according to the organizers. The Junior and Mini Great North Run and the Great North 5 kilometers, which usually takes place on the Saturday before the Great North Run, has also been cancelled. The race founder, Brandon Foster, was quoted describing the cancellation as devastating, adding that this year, being their 40th year, was said to be the greatest ever. He said they had 60,000 entries and it would have been Britain's biggest ever mass participation event. Last year, UK's Mo Farah won the elite men's title, while Kenyans swept the top four slots in the women's race, with Brigid Kosgei taking the title.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
After a 3-month stoppage due to COVID-19 pandemic, the Tanzania Premier League resumed last weekend with the country's giants Simba, Yanga and Azam battling for supremacy. Leaders and defending champions Simba Sports Club kept their hunt for a hat-trick of league titles alive despite being held to a 1-1 draw at home by Ruvu Shooting on the second day of action. Despite dropping 2 points, Simba retained a healthy lead in the standings with a 15-point buffer between them and second-placed Azam, with 9 rounds of matches remaining. To avoid any further spike of the virus, the Tanzania Football Federation and the government undertook stringent precautions and health protocols in all the matches. Fans were asked to sit at least a meter from each other, and everyone had their temperature taken before accessing the stadium. Also, sanitizers and running water was availed to ensure high levels of hygiene. The players as well had their temperature taken before going into the stadium. Meanwhile, Joaneng Galaxy FC were declared champions after the Botswana Football Association, BFA, made the decision to end the season due to the challenges caused by COVID-19. A meeting of the BFA Executive Committee decided to end the campaign, with the league standings remaining as they were when the season was halted in March. Galaxy led the standings with 41 points, one ahead of second-placed Township Rollers and third-placed Orapa United, with 10 rounds of matches left.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Sporting greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, our African Beat host. And speaking of African beats, you might say the now-retired German Otto Pfister beat the drum for African football during his 60-year coaching career. Pfister coached more than half a dozen African national teams, including Ghana. And he has some advice for Ghana's current head coach, as we hear now from Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra.
The 82-year-old retired German coach led Ghana's under-17 team to win the FIFA 1991 Youth World Cup in Italy when Ghana beat Spain 1-0 on August 31st in Florence. 5 months after his World Cup achievement with the Black Stars and in January 1992, the German tactician led the senior national team of Ghana, the Black Stars, captained by Abedi Pele, to the 1992 Senegal African Cup of Nations, rated as one of the best tournaments, but lost to Ivory Coast in the final after 120 minutes without a winner when the game went into penalty shootout, which ended 11 goals to 10 for the Ivorians. Retired coach Otto Pfister started coaching in Africa with Rwanda in 1972 at an early age of 35. Other African national teams he managed were Burkina Faso, then Upper Volta, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Zaire, Togo, and Cameroon. Coach Otto Pfister, the longest-serving coach in Africa, in an interview with City News in Accra from his German home, sent a piece of advice to the Black Stars head coach, C.K. Akono.
He has committed permanent in contact with the coaches in Europe, in France, in Germany, in England. And that is not easy for a coach. He has experience. He play in Fortuna Cologne. He play in Wolfsburg. He play in Germany. He has this professional know-how. But you have to give him free hands. You know, in Ghana, sometimes people like going into the selection. I remember when I selected the squad, Scarlett's 91, because in the last minute, I put Sami Ufo inside. And then some people from Accra tell me, no, 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 it's not possible. He's very young. I fight even with one journalist. I take him in, and then after this, he can be a player in Germany. You know, he have to be free from this. He have to realize his own idea.
The German coach who served past 3 decades in Africa said, shifting the African Cup of Nations from early January to summer by CAF, it's not a good idea.
In January, February is always more better for Africa, like in June, you know. I don't know who can this idea place so the Africa Cup of Nations in June. I think it's okay in December, January, February, in this time. It's a political decision, but I can tell you for this.
That was 82-year-old retired German coach Otto Pfister. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, everyone. I am Principal Jichimera Shadil Musa, Uganda Bombers captain. I'm going to be representing Uganda, my country, in the forthcoming Olympics, Japan, Tokyo. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. World number one player Novak Djokovic of Serbia has tested positive for the coronavirus after several other players on the Adria Tour he helped organize also contracted the disease. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The government of Serbia had lifted its lockdown restrictions weeks before the start of the Adria Tour, citing better numbers regarding COVID-19 infections compared to other countries. And Novak Djokovic used that statistic to defend his decision to proceed with the charity event in his home country. The eased restrictions meant players and spectators were not obliged to observe social distancing rules in both Serbia and Croatia. And then, some would say, the inevitable happened. As of this report, 4 tennis players on the tour, including Novak Djokovic, have tested positive for COVID-19. Grigor Dimitrov was the first to test positive last Sunday, which led to the cancellation of the event. Djokovic is the latest to test positive for the coronavirus, along with Borna Koric and Viktor Troicki. Dimitrov's coach and Djokovic's fitness trainer have also contracted the virus. And the backlash following the news has been swift. Australian tennis player Nick Kyrgios had a few choice words in his public criticism of the event. In a Twitter post, he said, in part, "Speedy recovery, fellas, but that's what happens when you disregard all protocols. This is not a joke." The Adria Tour was played in front of packed stands with spectators sitting shoulder to shoulder without face masks and players hugging at the net and posing for pictures. And video has circulated on social media platforms of Djokovic dancing at a nightclub along with other participants at his event. Dan Evans is the number one tennis player in Britain and ranked 28th in the world. He spoke to Reuters ahead of the Battle of the Brits exhibition tour that features Andy Murray. And Evan said the preventative measures that have been put in place for his event are nothing compared to what he saw at the Adria Tour.
I just think it's a poor example to set, I think, to be, you know,
even if the guidelines in that country just are not 2 meters, I think we should all, you know, it's not a joke, is it? And I think we should, you know, even if the guidelines were taken away in this country to normal, I would still be trying to keep myself out of the way as much as I could from other people. And I just think there's been a total disregard to that, really. And, you know, it's very unfortunate Grigor has it and Coric has it. But, you know, it's, if you strip it back, is it a surprise? I think that's the question we should all ask. And, you know, I think we, you know, we could definitely learn from that. And hopefully that event doesn't take away from, you know, now the US Open and stuff. There could be, I hope there's no second, you know, sort of guessing on the US Open now because of some unfortunate events.
The U.S. Open tournament is planning to resume in August, but as Dan Evans said, the fallout from the Adria Tour could throw events that are set to restart into question. Also in question is Djokovic's role as president of the ATP Player Council. Evans says as president, Djokovic should assume more responsibility for his players and set a better example for the sport.
Put it this way, I don't think he should be having a players' party and dancing all over each other, and then two of very good tennis players have tested positive. He should feel some responsibility in his event and how it's transpired, really.
Representatives confirmed Djokovic's positive test result early on Tuesday, and Djokovic added that while his children are fine, his wife has also tested positive. He went on to say this: "Everything we did in the past month, we did with a pure heart and sincere intentions. Our tournament meant to unite and share a message of solidarity and compassion throughout the region. The tour has been designed to help up-and-coming tennis players from Southeastern Europe to gain access to some competitive tennis while the various tours are on hold due to the COVID-19 situation. It was all born with a philanthropic idea to direct all raised funds towards people in need, and it warmed my heart to see how everybody strongly responded to this. We organized the tournament at the moment when the virus had weakened, believing that the conditions for hosting the tour had been met. Unfortunately, the virus is still present, and it is a new reality that we are still learning to cope and live with. I am hoping things will ease with time so we can all resume our lives the way they were. I'm extremely sorry for each individual case of infection. I hope that it will not complicate anyone's health situation and that everyone will be fine. I will remain in self-isolation for the next 14 days and repeat the test in 5 days. Stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports for updates as this story develops. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Still with tennis, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to the now-retired Italian, Francesca Schiavone. Francesca was born June 23, 1980, in Milan, Italy. The highlight of her professional tennis career came 10 years ago when she became the first Italian woman to win a major tournament in singles, lifting the trophy at the French Open. And speaking of France, let's also say happy birthday to French football great Zinedine Zidane, who now manages the Spanish club Real Madrid. Zidane was born June 23, 1972, in Marseille, France. He received many accolades as a player. 3 times Zidane was named FIFA's World Player of the Year in 1998, 2000, and 2003. In 1998, Zidane also won the Ballon d'Or trophy. The same year, he lifted another big trophy, the World Cup, on home soil at the Stade de France, just outside Paris. Zinedine Zidane was named Man of the Match in the World Cup final after scoring 2 goals before halftime in France's 3-0 victory against Brazil. Happy birthday, Zinedine Zidane. And that wraps up the June 23rd edition of the show. Thank thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa.